Support for tonight's podcast is sponsored by our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who will never look at Taco Tuesday the same. I am Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the recap of the recap. It's here. A milestone night in every early autumn. The recap of the recap is here. And we've got a lot of recapping to recap here with you on a Friday night, and I'm very excited to be back with a man who is coming to almost the end of this Big Brother adventure. It's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Doing great, Rob.
Excited. What are we up to today?
I did a lot of cooking today.
Cooking? Well, like, yeah. What do you cook? Like so all simple stuff, right? Like stuff anybody could make.
How dare you? How dare you?
Yeah. Sorry.
Nobody can duplicate. No, my yogurt is not duplicatable, Rob.
I hear the yogurt's not even that good in San Diego.
No, it's better.
Yeah. All right. It's going to be a recappy night. We're very excited to have here with us tonight for the second year in a row on the recap of the recap. An amazing pairing. First, my co-host from the RJP Rewind. You'll hear him on the Survivor Feedback Show this weekend. Many more podcasts. It is the great Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, I'm good. Who would have thought? The odds. We beat the odds. But I'm here. You plucked me right out of Central Texas, dropped me off here on this podcast for the second year in a row, and I did it. Thank you so much for having me.
Look at us. Chappelle, I am honored that you have worn your plaid shirt tonight to be a part of this podcast with us.
Yeah, I wore it in memory of you. You didn't come
memory
to the last
of me.
One.
Oh no.
Yeah. You didn't come to the last recap of the recap. So I thought like, I was going to honor Rob. I wasn't expecting you to be here.
I know my brother would very rudely got married on the recap of the recap last year. Yeah,
what? I'm not gonna lie. I don't. Which one of us sent him the invite? Because I didn't know we were doing.
Maybe it was.
Oof.
Liana.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Liana posted in the wrong group text. The one with Rob, of course. You know her from the B&B, the Drag Race Rehap Up, the Masked Singer Rehap Up, and Science. It is Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
Doing so well. I'm sorry. I know I screwed up the message. I just wanted to be here with two jokers and a king.
Okay.
You can figure out who's who.
Figure it out. Okay. All right. Liana, good to have you here on board. Of course. This is half of our draft from Sunday night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All still in it.
Part of the good half. Still in it. Still in it.
No grenades here.
No grenades here. All right.
We might be on our way to a Puya Russell Hans situation.
We'll see.
I mean, listen, if we're not rooting for Ozzy at this point, just for the memes, come on.
I know, right?
Okay. Liana, how are you doing?
Yeah, doing fabulous. I mean, got to chill with you guys today, which is going to be so much fun. Yeah. Got to, recover from what happened at the live eviction last night. And I'm happy that we actually got to see some of the fallout here today.
Well, let's get some thoughts and reactions. Taryn and I have gotten to talk about it quite a bit, including that we did our exit interview, or we got our exit interview back with Kylan. It was the longest that we've gotten back from the season. That's going to be in the podcast feed. That's already up. If you're a patron, you can check out that interview, and then we'll post the audio of that in the podcast feed later on tonight. There's also a little bit of a sneak preview on my TikTok from our conversation with Kylan. Liana, what was your thoughts on the whole Kylan eviction?
Oh, I was obsessed with it. It's so okay. Like, I have heard a lot of the discussion about it. Taryn, I heard your morning update with Puya. I heard y'all talk about it. I just have to say, I'm here for the awkward. I'm here for the uncomfortable. Oh yeah. What Kylan did was completely unacceptable, but that doesn't mean that I'm not going to watch it while snacking on some popcorn flavored with some, you know, little cheddar cheese seasoning. So I just had a fabulous time watching it. I rewatched it a few times because it is probably the most iconic exit. Now, Cornbread's F Y'all is close, but this one at least hits the uncomfortableness scale.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah. Chappelle, how about for you?
Ooh, yeah. This is what crack must feel like. I mean, like, I was at work and I saw the clip and I was like, oh, I'm missing Big Brother. They're like, no, you gotta watch this. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll watch it. I watched the clip. I said, oh no. Oh, we're doing that? Oh, yeah. So when I got off work, I sped home. I ran over a couple of, you know, people probably. And I made it to the couch and I like got ready to watch it on the app. You know, Paramount Plus is like, hey, we'll put it up later. So then I had to go through nefarious means to get the clips. Mm-hmm. I wanted the entire episode. I watched it all. I watched it 3-4 times. This is the kind of mess that I love. This is Howie and Mike Boogie all over again. Like, this is what I need from Big Brother. I know. Listen, we had a bunch of opinions about Howie back then. Honestly, could hear both sides. I'm sure he was making some points on his side. Maybe history has, you know, changed his opinion about that interaction. But for me, this was perfect. I loved every second of it.
Mm-hmm. It was so wild. Incredible.
It was so wild.
Incredible.
Like,
It feels like such the perfect end to the story of Kylan, because we got to know him and he was the one where Frenchie was the total wacko in the group and Frenchie was there and poor Kylan was on the outs and then Kylan has this HOH and it's like, oh, okay, we have some stability in the house. And then slowly but surely we start to unravel the man who is Kylan and learn more and more about him. And then to have it end this way, just really very poetic to me.
Mm-hmm.
The ballad of Kylan is the story of the season, right? Cause he goes into the house, people find his tweets and they're like, oh my God, look at him. Like our woke king. And he's like Afro-Latino and all this other stuff. Like we're getting all the Kylan, like, yes, King Kylan, we love this. Like people are so defensive of him. Oh, Fridgie, how dare you come at Kylan? And then like, slowly starts to turn and then like the music starts dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and it turns out like Kylan is also like a wackadoo. It's been such a ride. Like on the way to this, we got Kylan's complaints, we've got Kylan sniffing random objects in the house, Kylan, you know, with all of this just internalized like this misogyny and sexism into the reason why he wants to vote people out. The way he's playing the game is so honorable. It's so like pious a lot of times. Yep. And then it ends.
Did you get gaslighting Sarah Beth?
Yeah. The list goes on. Yeah. And then it comes down to like almost a physical altercation because make no mistake, I don't know if Kylan knew he was in danger there.
Yeah.
But I think he was in danger. I think Xavier was one Julie Chen away from just punching him in the face.
Well, Taryn and I talked about this on the patron Q&A that I think that what Kylan did was premeditated. I think that Taryn shares that opinion. And I wonder if he was trying to bait Xavier in sort of like, okay, you're going to get me. Like, maybe I could take you out with me.
Mm-mm. Ooh, it's entrapment.
I don't think he thought he would get a rise from Xavier physically. But I think that I think that in the moment he was probably like, oh, go for it, dude. But I don't think he intentionally planned to provoke Xavier. I think he just planned to try and get as much of a dig in at him as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's very long-winded and he likes to be right. So it's one of those things where in that moment, he felt like, I'm just saying the truth. I'm just telling you, like, it's one of those things where
it's not up to me.
Yeah. Well, people will say, you know, like the honorable thing is to do this. The honorable thing is to do that. If you go back on your honor, people aren't going to trust you. And then like normally in these reality TV shows, we see people like, oh, I got to stick to my honor. But when it doesn't happen, your only weapon was, well, you didn't do the honorable thing. So I feel like Kylan just felt like I need to throw this in your face. because that's all I have left is that, like, you said you were going to be honorable and you're not. Look at you. You are bad because of that. But I just don't know if he knew his life was in danger. Like, I really think he was about to get cracked over the head. I thought this was the end.
I mean, he might get cracked over the head when it comes to the jury roundtable, because from the jury segments we got, people are not happy with Kylan. No. I'm actually more scared for him meeting Sarah Beth again.
Yeah. And Kylan did not get a great night in the recap of the recap either.
No.
Yeah, they've been I wouldn't even say necessarily protecting Kylan all season. They've mostly just not been showing much of Kylan all season. And what they like to do is that when the person is, they're not the winner? Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Bye.
Paula Calafiore turn.
Exactly.
It's like, it's time to bury them. Get your shovels. Yeah. The one moment when he was in the diary room about the hoodies, that's obviously my favorite moment of the whole recap. He's like, the three people who were in here before got hoodies and I didn't get a hoodie. I would like to speak to your manager.
They said, we're about to do the segment about requests in the diary room. I said, oh gosh, the Kylan notebook is about to come out. Like, I know he has a list. It was so good. They spend this episode burying him. And you know what? It works.
Yeah.
Because seeing Kylan, even when he's crying in the diary room in that segment, I have no remorse. And I think it's just the way he acted on the way out the house, the things we've seen throughout the season, and then this ultimate heel turn that he did. If this is what he was going for, he got it. We all, as a fandom, are anti-Kylan. I don't know how he turns this around. I don't really care if he does. I wish him the best in life. But this episode did him no favors.
I mean, people talked about how, if there was an audience, they probably would have been kind of, like, booing him on his way out the door. And I feel like we missed the scenario where Kylan interrupts his own interview with Julie to get into an argument with the audience where he's like, no, you guys don't understand. This is what, no, I was saying objective truth. And they're like, no, boo. He's like, no, you guys listen to me. Because that would have happened.
Yeah. And he's like, can you guys stop booing? And then the audience goes, it's not up to us.
I just, y'all, I like the way y'all are painting, but I just have like a more graphic visual of this. Like, I picture like Jerry Springer or Mari, where Kylan comes out like flipping everybody off, like, whatever, I do what I want. And everybody,
like Angela on the 90 Day Fiancé reunion.
Yeah, like, boo, here's, and you're like, screw you, I'm Kylan, MFA. Like, that's what I want. From my imaginary Kylan blow up with the audience, but whatever.
We don't always chair.
He does that internally as he smiles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The smile has come a long way, you guys. I think it's a nefarious smile these days.
I interpret it so much differently now. It's like,
Well, scary. We got to see the rest of the final three reacting to Kylan's eviction. Xavier, Tyron, was not happy.
Yeah, and it seemed, I think, rightfully so, that he didn't really want to talk much about it. He was just kind of like, I was not cool with it, and I'm not going to give him the satisfaction of what he wants, and that's basically what I've got to say about it.
Now, I have to say, I didn't really appreciate, though, Big D getting on his high horse about the whole thing.
Yeah. Especially Like, Big D is all high and mighty about it. Big D also on the feeds last night was like, you know what? I forgive him. I'm not going to forget, but I do forgive him for it. You know, it's not up to me to not forgive him. So, Big D Big D also is like, I think kind of feeling left out in terms of, Kylan was like, I don't care about you. I'm addressing Xavier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, I'm not worried about what you did. It's him I want to talk to.
Point.
Yeah,
no, I mean, another underreported story from this whole thing is that Big D, or that Kylan had Big D's ring that he was using as collateral, I guess. And he actually, after the veto was not used, he took it off and pocketed it. And then left with the ring that Big D no longer has. And Big D's like, yeah, it'd be great to get that back. Just flat out stole the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Liana, does this do for you what it's doing for me? Because I love this.
Rob's face reacting to what happened probably is the thing that made it for me.
I love this.
The only thing I can think of, it just because Survivor premiered, is he's hoping to use it as the shot in the dark advantage. He's like, but I have this thing. If I drop it,
you have this thing.
Can I put this? Yeah.
Well, I can't. Is there somebody that I could speak to about this? Because I've seen on other programs where you're allowed to have another shot. I'd really like to come back.
I think that was what the look was when Big D evicted Kyland, and he went. That look was like, not getting your ring back, bro. Mm-hmm.
You know, I got your ring.
You just messed up. I'm keeping this.
Is it like an expensive ring or is it sentimental?
It's sentimental.
Like, it's like a class ring.
No, I think it's not a class ring. I think it was given to him by his father. It's like genuinely sentimental. Oh,
I had a tweet in my drafts that I didn't send. This was basically, how are you going to class action lawsuit when you have no class?
Ooh. Ooh. Okay.
Got him. Got him, Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we know one lawyer that won't be representing him in court. So,
yeah, this was interesting. I did. Now that Taryn points it out, Kylan definitely dismissed Big D so quickly. And, you know, Big D's thing is that, no, I am in control of the game. You getting evicted. I voted to evict you. And Kylan's like, yeah, whatever. So Xavier, about your nephew. Like, whoa. So Big D, of course, rightfully is like, how dare Kylan? The things he did is just disgusting. I'm so glad I was the one who evicted him. I did it. And they're like, yeah, whatever. No, you didn't.
Yeah, I didn't let you play me, Kylan. I played you. Emphasis on the I.
Right. I ran you out of this house. Ozza would have ran him out the house. Xavier would have ran him out the house. Everybody would have voted him out. Stop it.
I saw an ex interview where Kylan was taking exception to Xavier claiming credit for the Big D evicting him. Not because Big D should get the credit, but because Kylan should get the credit for having told Big D that it was the right move to evict him. And that Xavier should not be taking credit for that when it was all on Kylan.
Yeah.
What?
He should just stop. Yeah. I really want him to just stop.
Mastermind.
His resume is incredible.
I voted myself out. How many other people have done that?
It's mine.
It's me. Yeah. Lawan. Me and Lawan. That's it. Yeah.
Ozza, I did think had the sick burn to end the segment talking about Kylan.
Kylan, congratulations on top four.
Oh.
Aw. Mm. Yeah. Bless his heart.
Congratulations.
So you spent all season gaming people, and they got mad, and then got mad when they started gaming you.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. Yeah. It's tough. It's true.
I wish she knew to say the line.
She never feel dumb or played in any way.
I wish she knew about it because that would have been even better.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's get to dinner. All right. We've got a table set, table for three of, we've got champagne and surf and turf for the final three. Ready to go. And we set up the world famous recap episode of Big Brother. Anything new about the spread this year? This is just traditional fare?
I don't know. Yeah. Like, there was a steak and lobster. Solid.
Yeah.
There were a lot of vegans in the house. Maybe there should have been a vegan option.
Vegan wings.
The last three remained. Ooh, not that. But I think the last remaining people probably were all fine with it.
Would it have been pandering if they had done cookout, like a cookout style spread? Or
they should have.
I'd have climbed the wall. Climbed the wall.
Your damn mind. Like, are you serious right now?
I'd have climbed the wall. Excuse me.
Yeah.
McSqueeze me, Julie.
All right. Well, there were so many big things from this season. Gotta start any recap with Xavier's alter ego, Lucius.
Yeah, this was not even the best Lucius clip they could have used. This was one of the tamer ones. I mean, at least it was very Tiffany heavy. Mm-hmm. And Tiffany was very funny in it. This was not a strong start here for the recap.
I feel like that they were sort of like trying to come up with a, do we have anything that'll make Xavier seem fun? Do we have anything to really like, he's going to be our winner. Like, can we like sort of like really showcase Xavier a little bit?
I'm imagining like the casual viewer who is watching this recap and going, that's what he was doing. Like this clip, because in the live eviction, when he was in solitary, he came out
in slow motion,
waltzing in as Lucius, and he was like, Lucius votes to evict, and then you know, they're like, oh my god, it's all clicking together, what a mastermind, I didn't even know,
the master of disguise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Lucius.
Yeah, when they mentioned, yeah, we had so many great people in the house, that's not where I thought they were gonna go with that, but this was the, okay, how do we set this guy up to be a feel-good winner next week?
Yeah.
Like, if I was not watching the feeds, and maybe even if I was, I think Xavier is the most boring person on television right now, currently, at this time. Like, on television on any show right now. Like, and so, like, this was the fun segment, and I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Xavier has had some good lines in the diary room. He has a dry sense of humor. I guess Lucius allows him to let out his wild side.
Yeah.
I actually find Xavier funny and entertaining personally.
Of course you do.
Plain yogurt. So here's the thing. I don't think he's not entertaining. I think in this episode, in their moment to highlight him, the most boring television of the week.
Mm-hmm.
He works well when he's reacting against the other crazy.
Yeah.
Like that's where he really shines, you know, as the straight man that can provide the sort of like dry, funny commentary on everything. That's where I think he's the best.
He's Jim from The Office. He's just like, he's the one who's like breaking the fourth wall, looking at the camera, making like, that's why we like him. This Lucius segment was just more Tiffany, and I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said earlier in the season that, you know, if the cookout was a sitcom, you know, Xavier is probably, you know, the straight man in the middle, where you have all the other like bigger personalities, like who get all the punchlines, like in the rest of the sitcom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
All right. Lucius is, although Azza says that she's the person that loves Lucius, we see Tiffany and Lucius have an interaction.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been okay with that.
I mean, if the alternative is what we saw with Tiffany and Kylan, give me Lucius and Tiffany all the time. Like, give them their own show. I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What's her name? Silk? Did she say her name was Silk?
Yeah, Silk.
Yep. Yeah, we like that. Silk and Lucius. Hair. Yeah, that's a good little show, Silk and Lucius.
Mm-hmm. But, well, what did you think of the pickup line? He was like, I'm a Taurus.
Here.
And then what was
here,
the
here.
Only red
I Right now, I see red, and it's the only thing I want to charge after.
Yeah.
Eh? Did that work on you?
Is part of Lucius's thing that he's very into, like, astrology?
I think so.
Is that part of the character?
I think part of his thing is that he comes up with corny pickup lines.
Mm, okay.
So he's not a matador. That's not anything associated with his character.
Oh, he's an actual bull. He's an actual Taurus.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like, what would be some other good pickup lines? Like to see your chart, girl.
Yeah, that's like
stars.
A generic one. Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show you some placements.
Mm-hmm. I'll be your rising moon. I don't know.
Not if that's the rising moon. I love that.
So I hear you're a Cancer, and I don't. If you know you, okay. All right. All right.
This is fine.
I was waiting. I don't get it.
I think it's more that you could fill in the blank if you're if you know the astrology signs. Yeah. Okay. All right. It just felt late. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about right after this, we can talk about one of the other huge personalities in the house. Got to talk about when Xavier says my golden doodle. I thought he was talking about his real dog. No, he's talking about Christian.
Yeah. Oh, I missed that.
I didn't say it. I just didn't know what he meant. I was like, what is that like, what is Alyssa's friend name for him?
Well, this is the original comic book character name they had for Christian for his comic, the Golden Doodle. But then they changed it to whatever it was.
Yeah.
So this nickname is like the reason why we get the segment of Christian talking about the combined animals, right? Because a golden doodle is a golden retriever and a poodle.
So that's two breeds combined.
So we end up getting into Zonkies and Ligers. I think that's what this is?
Big Brother producers are just too clever for us.
I swear to God, I feel like haven't they done this before? Like, was this on last year's recap of the recap?
We just got in Big Brother Canada 9 our reindeer reel argument, that which was in a similar vein, and then before that we had the Texans a word in Big Brother All Stars.
Yeah,
it was usually something along these lines. It's because we don't get these in real life anymore. These like arguments over whether a thing is real
get
or
out
not.
My phone.
Yeah, you just go. Oh, Alexa, hold on. Let me look it up.
Hold on.
Real quick.
Yeah. Liana, you're from science. Is a zonkey a real thing?
Google says yes. Although the whole donkey in the front, zebra in the back, like the mullet animal that it is, that didn't seem to be true. They seem to be more hybrid. But yeah, the penguin and a pterodactyl one, though, that I cannot confirm.
And what did he call it? He called it like the worst possible portmanteau that you could have.
Like a pendactyl? Or was it a... Terra
penguin.
Yeah,
Paraguin. I don't know.
A paradaquin. Actually, that's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at zonkies, and it looks like most of them just look like they're wearing striped leggings.
Cute as well.
I just kept hearing Zanky, so that was what I was thinking of throughout the segment.
Jarring.
Are zonkies real?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he said it was the zebra in the front and the ass in the back, or was it the other way around?
It was a donkey in the front.
Donkey in the front, zebra in the back. Now that doesn't sound like a party at all.
Okay.
With that ass in the back.
Not yeah. A pteranguin, I think he was also.
What is Ingwin? How do you
know? Pteranguin.
What?
I think it was Pteranguin because I, for the briefest moment, was like, did I just hear my name?
Pteranguin. It's pronounced Pteranguin. Okay.
Is that a Terran penguin?
It's me combined with a penguin.
Yeah.
With pterodactyl wings.
So we have seen our share of recaps of the recaps. Chappelle, what do you think of the threesome of Xavier, Big D, and Azza as the hosts of the recap? How'd they do with their transitions?
I mean, they forced them in there. Like, you heard the golden doodle, and we ended up talking about ligers. And, you know, I think it was like, you know, speaking of food, you know what isn't good? Brittany's reaction to food. Like, oh, okay, yay. So it happened.
Yeah.
Made it through it. And I'm very proud of them for making it through it.
There's usually some kind of like at least somewhat feeling there of like, oh man, remember that time? What a season it's been. This one didn't even feel like that to me. It just felt like how can we squeeze in the next, golden doodle?
I don't think any of these three have hosting chops in their future because it was a little bit of a struggle. Here's one of the setups.
Can you believe it? We started in teams.
So natural.
Yeah, wild.
Yeah, and I felt like Xavier was giving a lot of them and he had zero enthusiasm, particularly like, I thought like for sure the producers are trolling Xavier by giving him the introduction to the, Christian and Alyssa showman segment.
Yeah.
Was very like, yeah, those two. Mm-hmm. Oh boy.
Mm-hmm. All right. So can you believe that there were teams, the Jokers, we had our Joker segment. This was one of my favorite ones, the Brittany segment, where we find out that Brittany is very defensive of her city's wings. I think geographically, Liana, you're probably the closest to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. It's still a bit of a trek, but yes.
Have you ever had wings in Buffalo?
I cannot say that I have, but apparently. Known for the wings. I know. It's mm-hmm. ridiculous.
Well, I hear that's actually a misnomer. I hear they're not actually that good.
Mm-hmm. No, I heard it was a paradox, as mm-hmm. Derek X said.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Whatever that means.
Mm-hmm. Ridiculous.
Yeah. So that was so funny.
I love Brittany. Yeah. I love Brittany in this moment because I feel so seen, not about Buffalo specifically, but when they ask about, so do they have vegan wings? Excuse me? Yeah, I'm sorry. What? I'm like, mm-hmm. Brittany, get out of there. These people don't know love. Get out of there. They don't want to be great. Get out of the room. Woo is a lot.
Easily my favorite part was the sound effect. I wish I had that in real life. When somebody asked me a stupid question, I could just go like.
Taryn.
The second I heard it, I knew I needed it because it was just so good. And they just kept hitting it too. It was just like, it was funny the first time and then it was funnier the second time. And then it was funniest the third time. It was just like.
The rule of threes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that was a highlight. good job there. And then we had like then just a whole replay of the Frenchie HOH with nothing new.
This was the worst part of the episode.
Yeah.
By far.
What a lunatic.
Was it? We missed Frenchie. Like, a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. The mess was good. But this reminded me about how much I don't need Frenchie on my television. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's a nice guy. But man, even in this little clip show, I got stressed that fast. Like, can you imagine? Brent Champagne is just looking at the mirror wall like, should my eyebrow be up or down? And Frenchie's like, fuck those lions. Like, oh my gosh. Like, What happened? Is somebody okay? Is everybody okay? Does someone have a stroke? This is like walk out though, just cussing everybody out and like this is weird. It's so weird. So,
but was there no new Frenchie footage?
Exactly. Yeah. And we got week two Frenchie, which was the worst version of Frenchie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Week one Frenchie was way better. It did remind me that you know Brent just like shoved in any opportunity to reference his job. He were on a plane right now, it wouldn't be good for him.
You know, I guess the people that got hosed tonight in the recap of the recap, Travis, like there was, I think, one shot of Travis. I think Hannah correctly said Travis who, when she did the puzzle. Then Brent only got seen here. And I think Whitney only got seen here. And Sarah who? Sarah Beth got like next to nothing.
She got nothing. I think I saw Travis more than I saw Sarah Beth in the recap of the recap.
I feel like she was in like one of the diary room segments.
She was crying. Mm-hmm. Like they were all crying in the diary room, but she was, that's it. That's, I didn't even realize it until y'all said it, that there was almost no Sarah Beth. Wow. They just really just ignored her, fed her dust.
I mean, what'd she make it? Like what? 55 days in the game? Like,
she made jury. She was one of the few people who almost cracked the cookout. She was right there. So, I mean, you could give her a little bit more credit, but whatever, I guess not.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. This is where things went off the rails here, where, we went from our dinner talk.
You know what other food is really good?
What?
Taco meat.
Come on.
Go smooth transition.
Hey, Rob, I've been meaning to tell you, the plain yogurt, it's not my favorite food anymore. I've upgraded to my favorite food is taco meat.
Ah. Aw, Terrence all about the white people.
Oh my gosh.
First off, stop with this because nobody's ever even said the sentence before about the food. I love taco meat. Stop it. That's not even a thing.
Just not the taco, just the taco meats.
You know what else is a really good food? Yeah.
And it's just like ground beef. Like, she's not like, oh, look, carnitas. Like, you know what I like? Brisket. It's like, no, ground taco beef.
No, not just taco meat. Okay.
Taco meat. Mm-hmm. Any meat will do.
Species unspecified.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, me gusta carnitas.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
We got into a whole thing about the chest hair of the different men. There was actually a funny segment about Azza was talking about her type, and Derek X was playing along. Derek X didn't get a ton, really, either. He was kind of like there in a lot of things, but he didn't really get his own segment. I can't believe we didn't get Lord of the Latrine back tonight.
You know what? I feel like the producers have a favorite.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
Or agreed. The America's favorite.
Yeah.
Agreed. Listen, this time last year, Rob, you weren't here, but Liana Taren and I discussed people voting for Davon for America's Favorite House Guest. And although we refuse to put our fingers on the scale at all, because we are podcasters and we have ethics and integrity and honor, all the things that Kylan admires, we just made it clear that you could vote for whoever you wanted as long as, you know, you knew that Davon was, you know, in the mm-hmm. running for America's Favorite House Guest. Yeah. You should vote for them. And I think that the producers would like you to vote for Tiffany as America's Favorite House Guest. Now, I'm not saying you should. I am going to, and I think that you probably should do that as well. But based on the episode we saw and the feedback we've been seeing, the polls, the data,
yeah,
you know, the science, Liana, you can weigh in on this for sure, I'm sure. It looks like we all, like the royal we, want Tiffany to be America's Favorite House Guest, mm-hmm. and you should text Tiffany to 97979.
I will say, so I don't think that Tiffany got an amazing amount of stuff in this episode too. So it wasn't like I feel like that they were being like super heavy handed and like, here's all the great Tiffany stuff. In fact, they set up a segment that was like, hey, you know who was really fun in the house to be around?
Yeah.
Tiffany. And then it was like Tiffany like interrogating Xavier about being a lawyer. It was like, wait, did we screw up the intros?
She's fun and smart, I think.
No doubt. No doubt.
For America's Favorite House Guest.
Last night, I think, was the better commercial for Tiffany for America's Favorite Player.
Oh, yeah.
If I had to pick one person that I thought this was a commercial for, I probably would say Big D, I think, probably got the most.
You know what? Because it was a diary room. That's like the diary room Big D is the best Big D.
Mm-hmm. And the outrage about Hannah's food, right? We got a lot of that. Kai and him, that interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Big D was there as well. But I still think that, you know, as a whole, like as a viewing block, America's Favorite House Guest, if you voted for Tiffany, I think that would be the right side of history. And I think we should all just get on that. Just saying. Mm-hmm. Throw it out there.
She was fun and she came to play the game.
I don't think anybody's going to push back on that.
Oh, no. What? The Hannah stands have been in my mentions all day.
All right. Well, yeah.
The Stannas. I see y'all. That part.
So.
The collected sound of the Hannah stands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of talk about is it manscaping on your chest? Is that part of manscaping?
Brushing?
Yeah.
Is it one of the terms used mm-hmm. by Big D?
Yeah. I have to ask Akiva and Chester.
Brown the taco meat.
Yeah.
But you can manscape anywhere.
Yeah. Okay. It's not just south of the equator.
No, I think it can apply to other locations as well, mm-hmm. you know, going up north. So.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Is it taco meat? Is this everywhere? Or is it just like a chest specific?
I've only heard it referred to in just run for chest the border. Specific.
Oh my gosh.
But
the Taco Bell's tagline.
Live Moss, baby.
but yeah. But it is Aza who is the one to say,
Big D has taco meat.
Yeah, Big D has taco meat. Rob, do you have taco meat?
Are you sure? Because Big D said he didn't. And
yeah, I mean, we know Big D is very good at accurately assessing his own, things that he's done and who he is. And so I'm just, if he can be wrong about this, then I don't know.
Rob, Terrence asking you to take your shirt off on the podcast. Come on.
I mean, I'm not saying that myself, but if Chappelle wants you to, then
I mean, I'm not going to stop you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel
ask. It's a podcast, Rob. Yeah. What are you going to say?
Should we do that for the poll?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The poll. Go to Instagram. Yeah, right. Go to Instagram. Yeah. Is Hannah standing by?
Does Rob have taco meat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's an easy question. Yeah. Speaking of Hannah's plate, now this pasta with refried beans, was this...
Well, this was shades of Nicole Franzel last year. What was the thing that she made?
Pasta salad.
Yeah, that spaghetti pasta salad. Oh my gosh.
Which honestly is not nearly as egregious as a bean pasta.
It's like, look, you vegans, y'all know who y'all are. What the hell? Like y'all, this is on y'all. Stop this.
Mm-hmm.
Stop this. You can't just put random ass legumes and shit on damn pasta. It's like, oh, it's pasta. No. Beans and noodles. That's it.
I've had like a Tuscan white bean pasta before, but the beans that Hannah was putting on, but it wasn't even just the beans, the like pinto beans, whatever she had. It was the mashed potatoes and the avocado that really got me, because those are the other items that were on her plate. I was like, in what universe are these the four items you've decided to combine together to make one culinary concoction?
I think we're being really tough on Shada here, because it's not really her fault. What happened is that Kylan told her that her meals were very duplicatable. Mm. And so she was like, I'll show you duplicatable.
Right.
Try to cook that. Yeah. I'm not doing dishes.
A mashed potato bean pasta.
With a zesty avocado blend next to it. Mm-hmm. I guess it's like you forget that Hannah is so young until she's in the kitchen like, la, 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 la. Man, what are you doing? Oh, just cooking. Like, that's not cooking. She's like, la, 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 la.
That's all I had in my dorm room, you know? So it's like, right. Like, that's what we're eating today. I don't have any money.
Get out the hot pot.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, poor Hannah. This was funny, though.
We'll be right back with more recap of the recap, talking Big Brother 23 on a Friday. But I got to take a moment to thank a sponsor. Those are our friends over at BetterHelp. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. If there's something that's interfering with your happiness, or is there something that's preventing you from achieving your goals? Sometimes for me, there could be a lot of stress that goes into keeping up with the work schedule. Is there something out there that might be able to help? How about BetterHelp? They're going to assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, where you can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. Now, there's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. Their service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist, and you're going to get timely, thoughtful responses. Plus, you can secure weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as you might with traditional therapy. And BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read testimonials that are posted daily. Visit BetterHelp.com/RJP. That's Better H-E-L-P. And join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, that they are recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. It's a special offer for RHAP listeners. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/RHAP. And we'll be back in 30 seconds once we thank our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to Geico.com and get a quote. See how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. Now let's get back to Big Brother. We had a segment on, I guess this was at the Final Four, and Kylan announced Aza didn't have to do the dishes, which made Big D.
It works.
Yeah.
So he got into a whole thing about how, well, Aza makes food that I actually like that I can't make. Big D just makes food that's easy to make. Big D is getting very upset. But I thought this was like such a great window into Kylan and everything that we saw ultimately culminate this week with Xavier, because that this was Kylan's defense of this.
I'm just mentioning this objective fact. And for some reason, Big D feels that I am personally attacking him as an individual.
Yeah. Why?
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. It's just an objective fact.
Yeah. For some reason, objective fact seems to offend him personally. It's not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
He said something also about, I don't know why you wouldn't be supporting the things that I'm saying. It's like, Mo, I'm sorry, what?
My favorite line was, okay, Lil, hear me out. Hear what I just said and pretend that I'm nice and this would happen less. Oh,
yeah.
Pretend you're not being a big ass jerk.
That's the key.
That's it.
Was he?
My bad.
Was
I should vote for you now.
Yeah. Was Kylan already on the block needing Big D's vote by this point?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so
I thought, because this could have been better, because I thought we were finally going to get like the montage edit of a Kylan argument, because Xavier was like, he does not let it go. And I was like, oh, here we go. We're going to, because what happened is this argument started in the kitchen and then it followed Big D out to the laundry and then it followed him back into the kitchen and it followed him all over the house. They really could have been like an hour later. I just don't understand why you're going out of your way to find offense to what I said. How this works is that what I said is an hour later. I just feel like what I said was so simple and easy to understand. And so I'm sorry that I didn't go out of my way to make you feel good about this fact an hour later. Like they could have done that. And I wish they had, because it really would have helped, I think, sell what I have had to buy all season long.
Yeah, Taryn, I feel bad for you. You've sat through more of these conversations than any human alive.
At least he wasn't whispering.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very true.
This is like a mark of, like, this is how you just encapsulate Kylan's game in general. The things he's saying, even just like, oh, well, if I pretend I was nice and you would like this, or like, why don't you want to talk to me into the wee hours of the night about this thing that I clearly just want to keep talking to? Even the idea that Big D says this thing to Aza, hey, Aza, you should wash dishes because you don't wash dishes enough. And Kylan says, no, Aza, you don't have to wash dishes. Sir, he wasn't talking to you. And if you wanted to wash dishes for Aza, you could pull her to the side later on and talk about it. But this is a game, a social strategy game. And it's kind of odd to me.
Who was going to wash the dishes? Him?
I mean, yeah, I guess he thought he was going to wash the dishes. Like, if I'm Big D, I'm more looking like, so if Aza not finna wash the dishes and Xavier just washed the dishes, who finna wash the dishes? I'm washing dishes right now. So unless you're about to get up and wash the dishes, what are you saying here?
It's the way that Kylan acted like he was the parent in the situation too, where like he looks to Aza like, no, you don't need to watch this. Come on.
Talk to your dad.
I'm going to talk to your brother for you. Okay. No. He needs to wash the dishes. He needs to learn some responsibility and he needs to learn how to cook some less duplicatable dishes.
Right. If your meals weren't so damn basic, you wouldn't have to wash dishes. Now get your ass in the kitchen. Like, whoa.
I'm picturing Kylan in the barter system where he's trying. He's like, no, I should get this corn because I can make corn. So, and it's like, okay, but I grew you this corn. So you need to pay me for the corn. Like, no, I can do it myself. So therefore, like, that doesn't equate to the same amount of work. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It's kind of like if you went to Subway and they asked for a tip. Now stop it.
I can make that sandwich.
All you did was put it together.
Hey, they are sandwich artists there, Chappelle.
I could have did that stuff. You know, like, damn, give me them damn gloves and I will put the sandwich together the way I like it and I will add extra.
Let
y'all
being selfish. Let me speak to your manager.
Kylan acting like Big D's the guy that will come up to you at a table and give you a rose and be like, thank you, that will be $10.
Right.
It's an objective fact. Yes, I gave this rose to you. You have to give me $10. I don't know why you're getting mad. Pretend I'm nice. Yeah.
Pretend I'm nice. Mm-hmm. Pretend you asked for this. Pretend you wanted this and then you'll like it. Why don't you just pretend?
That'll make it better. It'll go away.
Okay.
Dummy. Hold on. Kylan, listen. At the very least, you're about to get evicted, maybe. You should at least be nice to Big D. Like, I mean, Tiffany was in the bed with Kylan that week when I was like screaming at the television, like, get out of the bed with him. He's a loser. Stop it. Don't do this. But she was trying to stay in the game. So she was being really nice. Kylan, you should have been combing that man taco meat. You should have been like kissing ass to stay in the house. And you talking shit about his cooking.
He wasn't being mean. He was stating an objective fact, Chappelle. It was just a fact.
Objectively, his chest hair is nappy and Kylan should have gotten there and brushed it for him because it could have done him some favors.
Big D has taco meat.
It does.
It's the tight curl pattern for me.
He said, I condition it, I shampoo it. Kylan, you got hands. Mm-hmm. Do you want $750,000 or not?
Which mm-hmm. one on in there?
Mm-hmm. Get in there.
Yeah, taco meat better be your favorite food from now on, boy.
At least for the week. Like, dang. Do you want to win or not? That's mm-hmm. all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you don't.
All right. We got some diary room packages, and I didn't need all the nose blowing. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
So
it's only weird. There's only one way to blow your nose in the Big Brother house.
Is that a tortilla?
we just came off of the sniffing segment, and now we got so much nose blowing.
It was so long. Robert, no.
Put that damn tortilla down.
Don't make me come over there.
Let me make a taco real quick.
Rob, what are you doing? Big D in the episode when Hannah had her plate, she's like, look at that damn plate. That's how I feel right now. Like, Rob, look at that damn tortilla. Put it down.
Throw up. I can hear Puya laughing in the other room.
Grow up.
Sorry.
Damn it.
The props left over from yesterday.
Can't do this no more. Rob, what about your nephew? Yeah, what about your nephew, Rob? Do you think he would like appreciate this? Who's going to raise him now that you didn't blew your nose on a damn tortilla?
I suggest you leave my tortillas out of this.
I will, but it's an objective fact that's disgusting. Don't blow your nose in a damn tortilla, Rob.
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh my gosh.
It's not how you season it.
It's not.
Mm-hmm. I like that Claire knew she was going to be in the crying montage. That was like a nice button on the Claire super fan storyline of the season. She even knew she was going to be in the montage.
My favorite part of the whole montage was Alyssa.
I hope to visit you after the house as well. I'm not going to visit Kai. What am I talking about?
He thinks he was going to win the game.
Burn.
He thinks he was going to win the game. Like, he really thinks. And people were like making arguments that people would vote for him. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? Does anybody ever say anything positive about this man? Just,
I like Brent with the coffee maker. Mm-hmm. Coffee maker's broken. People are going to think that I broke it.
People think that I broke it.
Yeah.
But I'm the one who likes it the most. I was like, Brent, I feel you. For the first time, I get it, Brent. Because I'm the same way. Like, if the coffee machine is not working, I'm sorry, I can't be at work today. You have to call someone else. What, you're the only one who uses this? Yes, and it needs to be fixed or I cannot use it. and I cannot work.
Yeah.
I get you, Brent. I feel this.
I mean, if the coffee machine broke here, I'd have to quit the podcast.
I'm done. I'm done. Like,
put a sign on the website. Sorry, we're closed.
It's Brent's fault.
Yeah.
Blame Brent. This was the crying segment, which I guess now is a staple of this count, you know, this recap of the recap. Like, you have to have the diary room crying. And I'll say this, everyone looked very attractive crying. I like when people look pretty crying, except for Kylan. His face is just now everything about Kylan is just like, I'm okay with this. Like, I'm okay with you being sad because you look like a jerk on television. Like, I didn't even feel like I felt bad for Frenchie in certain seconds, you know, but like Kylan, nope.
Feel Chappelle, nothing. This seems very mean to Kylan that you're stating these facts.
It's an objective fact. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you feel that way. I wish if pretend I was nicer, Kylan. Just pretend I was being nicer and then you would like it. You wouldn't have these problems.
I like that the segue into the diary room segment was Big D being like, and I never cried once. Cue Big D crying in the diary room. But it was after, I think they got him. They got him with the family videos because he was wearing the same outfit when he was crying.
Yeah, the headband. I bet
the producers were like, how dare you say that you have never cried in the diary room? Just you wait. Like, we're about to call your parents and we're going to get a video for you that will make you cry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On our show, we make sure we make all of our contestants cry. Mm-hmm. That we know we're doing our job as long as everybody has cried at least once.
Yeah. That's, how dare you?
That's why Xavier said, ooh, somebody wet was sitting here, you know, because obviously.
I thought that was after Azza.
She's probably crying too.
Yeah, I go.
I'm sure. segue. You know, they did pull out the big, like, speaking of crying and family members, they did pull out the big guns with that. I wasn't expecting that. That was a lot of tears, a lot of that.
Yeah. Wait, which thing?
The family visit.
At the end. Like
the end.
Yeah. That was a lot.
Yeah. We got a couple of genuine segments that were in the episode. I mean, specifically the segment about the cookout later on in the episode. But we got this story here about Claire talking about coming out and basically had a nice conversation with Derek X. And I think that the frustrating thing is, like, why wasn't this in the episodes?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. I mean, I talked about this on when I was doing the Survivor podcast, but like the Survivor premiere has shown more about the personal lives of their players in one episode than we got in how many? 35 episodes of Big Brother. We have learned less about the Big Brother contestants in the episodes and because they just haven't shown this kind of content.
And this one, okay, you know, Claire, you know, wasn't really the focus of the show. Maybe it might have been, maybe he didn't have the time for, you know, this sort of, you know, maybe, you know, had Claire had an HOH week or something like that. I don't know that, but the cookout one, it's like in a time where we've had nothing going on this show, how does the cookout segment end up 50 minutes into the recap of the recap?
The fact that they did it, but then didn't put it when they—I mean, it would be perfectly placed when they made the final six.
Especially they had a two-hour episode one of those nights.
You have the time,
Rob. I mean, the thing here is that the joke of the recap is that this is the worst episode of the season by far. You struggle to get through it. You're falling asleep, but Rob. This is the most engaged I've been in a Big Brother episode for weeks, excluding last night's, which is absurd that this is, I mean, great that this was a better recap episode than that usually is, in my opinion, but terrible that apparently they saved all of their content for this because they've got nothing.
Listen,
in so many of those episodes.
Not one, but two segments on CSI Vegas.
Well, that America's was America's favorite CSI.
Priorities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, had just,
you know, being mean to CSI Vegas.
had you sprinkled some of this in throughout the season, you know, maybe people wouldn't have been so up in arms when they saw the cookout online, because then you would hear the reasons why we've all been like arguing with everybody on the internet and in these podcasts and on Twitter and on Facebook and all this other stuff. We've been saying these very things. They felt marginalized. They have been marginalized. They don't want to be marginalized anymore, so they're not going to target each other. And eventually that led to an alliance that they wanted to take to the end to make sure a black person won the game. The end. Boom. Mm-hmm. But the marginalization part is what they talked about on this episode. They talked about the different experiences they had as black people, as different black people in different settings, and how it doesn't feel great to feel like you're being singled out. And so they were able to come together. You want to talk about this when they start saying the alliance is called the cookout. Maybe back then you say that and then people are like, oh, okay, I hear what they're saying. But no, you wait until the people are, I'm never watching this show again. I can't believe it. God, is this Chicago? What show is, what is, where is this being filmed? You know, like, you wait until we get to this point before you decide to say, oh, they have a reason for doing this. They just don't hate white
people. Finale's in 5 days.
Right.
And it explains the strategy also of the fact, like, why they did what they did. And then when they were talking about, and, you know, there's a lot of diversity even among our group. And then that can be motivation for maybe why there was conflict as well. Like, it just felt like a segment that could really have actually explained things. And the fact that they waited so late just feels like such a missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm glad they actually put something in.
I was getting nervous that 50 minutes into this episode, they're like, boy, are we really gonna not even mention the cookout here on the recap of the whole season?
But I mean, I completely agree. It's been so frustrating to cover the season all season long and see that, like, so many people who watch the episodes have no clue about any of this. That's it really felt like they were, that these players were hung out to dry when it came to the statement of their mission, that we got the bare minimum, and then it was like, but man, doesn't it suck that all these other players are leaving? Oh man,
don't you miss them? Don't you miss Christian? Xavier does, you know, like
I think Xavier also said something about, like, if it wasn't for the, he said something about, well, I would have loved to have kept them otherwise because I had to work with you guys or something to that effect. It was like,
I loved Christian. I would have loved to play with him longer, but God dang it, so many of us in the house this time just couldn't do what I wanted to do. And I don't blame him, honestly, to feel that way. Like, you have to put in this situation the mission before yourself. Tiffany does it.
We had to work with Kylan all season.
Yeah, they had to work with Kylan all season. Like, we only saw in the episode that part, but when Taryn has been up late at night listening to Kylan talk these people's ears off, when they show these diary room montages, there's like 7 clips of all of them just, you can tell they just are in the middle of the night. They are so tired. Why? Because Kylan had them up until 4 in the morning talking their ears off. They've been doing this for almost 100 days. Yes, they wanted to work with somebody else. Yes, they wanted to vote each other out. And they did it. And that's why I think the alliance is so impressive. They wanted to work with their friends, but they felt like this was a bigger thing. There are players that would have been in this spot who would have not made that same sacrifice. It's not that you could drop any 6 black people into this house and the same exact thing will happen every time. It will not. We see it happen time and time again where the black people just can't get on the same page. And it's just because being black does not automatically make you aligned in a Big Brother game. That's why it was so impressive. They were able to do that despite their differences just based on their mission. It just sucks that they have to go through all of this scrutiny for having an alliance when every damn year we see white folk do the same thing. And, you know, they, oh my gosh, they never say they're targeting all the black folk. No, they just don't make jury by happenstance every year. You know, like, sorry. So I don't know. This was fun. I'm happy. And I'm glad we got more Tiffany being smart. Yesterday we got the Tiffany is the mastermind. Give me more Tiffany content because, again, America's favorite house guest. Just saying. That's where my
vote's going. Chappelle, you make a good point about the crying montage because I think what they did to set it up is that they showed Kylan first to explain that it wasn't a crying montage. This is what people came into the diary room doing after speaking to Kylan. It was a Kylan montage.
Where's the lie? I don't see it.
let me go back to some of the things that we jumped around a little bit there. We got Xavier set up. You know who got real close this summer? Christian and Alyssa.
Yeah.
Favorite couple.
Why was this in the show?
Okay, but not only why was this in the show, I get it that they love their showmances, but then the clip that they showed was Christian awkwardly asking Alyssa to be his girlfriend, and then her being like, yeah, no, thank you. Okay, thanks.
This was their last
Alyssa was like...
Shit, Alyssa was like,
I hope to visit you after the house as well. Well, I'm not going to visit Kyle.
I'm not going to visit Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this was good, especially when he's like, really, I mean, he's putting all the moves on her. You know, he's like, my girlfriend says what? And she hears him and goes. So anyway, he's like, you're not even going to fall for it, huh? Look at you, you sneakers. She's like, yeah, whatever. Call me when we get out the house. I do think there might be a future for them, but I like that Alyssa was able to keep her head in the game. Mm-hmm. We have seen so many like women players who have fallen like to the wayside just because a guy liked them in the house. Like, oh my gosh, we have to break them up because what if she likes him back? Oh my gosh, then she could woman her way to the end and we don't want that. So I like that she was able to put her foot down and be like, no, we're not doing this. But I hope for his sake, because Christian seems like a nice guy, that she gives him a chance afterwards. Xavier is the one who probably is rooting against them. He's preying on their downfall. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what would have been a better segment after Xavier set this up is that instead of seeing any of Christian and Alyssa, we instead get a set. This is the Frenchie segment of I know their showmans. I'm here to break those showmances up.
Call me the showman's killer. But Liana, I thought we were going to get the origin story of that I'm a girly girl.
Yeah, I don't know. Or so I thought that. I thought the just how they got together in the first place. In anything else, there's a lot of silliness with them. So I don't understand why they chose to just sort of like dig the nail in a little bit more. Maybe it's because they were like, Christian's out of the house now, so we want to show him in case he missed and didn't see that. Like, you remember this?
This is, I am not complaining. This is my favorite showman segment I think I've ever seen on a recap of a recap. The last thing I need is like a fan cam montage of like them, you know, canoodling and being like, you know, you're just so great. This was way better.
You smell like baby.
Yeah, I won't name one of them, but man, that one fan cam like montage we had where they're like laying across the room from each other, like, touching pinkies. One day we'll start an Etsy shop, and you know, that was the worst. That was the darkest timeline. It's like I want to touch you, but I can't. Just like, oh, look, Smoopy. Not my fave. Mm-hmm. Not my fave.
Yeah. Okay. I like that he tried to trick Alyssa. My girlfriend says what?
What? She did not react. She heard him and said, oh, no. Oh, no, baby. Like, even in jest, I'm not going to admit to that. Sorry.
I am not falling for that.
Okay.
She, like, treated him like he's Voldemort. So, like, you say the word girlfriend, he's like, you must not be named. Yeah. The one who lived, the dark one, the dark lord. She's like, I'm not saying that.
Liana, how about a scaring montage?
Oh, classic. You gotta have it. I think we call this the James Hewling Memorial segment. I didn't care, except for the Frenchie one, because it looked oddly real.
No!
Oh, shit.
Oh, God.
I got you guys. Oh, man. Oh, this is so fun.
They need to give them more stuff to do in the house. They do. Because that's why we always get this montage. But I'm with Liana. The Frenchie segment... The Frenchie jump scare to DX, that's the best one, because you know he felt that in his soul. Because I think DX might have been afraid of Frenchie.
It wasn't the scare. It was just the Frenchie was that close all of a sudden.
And the slow motion one was really creepy of him just like over the chair. It was terrifying. Yeah. Nightmare fuel.
And if you remember the way Frenchie moved around the house, like, I'm sure they were just startled at him
Chappelle,
all the time.
He was in camouflage. He naturally blends in.
Invisible. Yeah, very clearly invisible. I mean, because we've seen him hiding outside of people's doors and like you can't like hit a corner without running into Frenchie. And so I think DX thought for the first time, like, ooh, I can breathe. And then boom, Frenchie was there. And like, God dang it, you know, so dagnammit or whatever. What was it?
Dagnammit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he was terrified. Okay. That poor man.
All right. We got this set up for, oh, you know who is the most fun person? It was Tiffany. And then we got her telling, just like cross-examining Xavier of like, I know you're not a bartender.
No, I know.
You don't know any drinks. You yeah.
are very smart. And I know that yo behind ain't no bartender neither. Mm-hmm. You don't know no drinks. You go to sleep at 10 o'clock. If you was a bartender, you'd be a bad one.
Also,
you are
not
a bartender.
Like, shots to bartenders, because right? the disciplined nature you have, the maturity level you have, obviously you can't be a bartender.
I was like, imagine I'm a bartender watching this. Like
a bartender in law school. A concept.
Mm-hmm. All bartenders are like non-disciplined, immature. Like,
mm-hmm. How dare you? But yeah, mm-hmm. It was from the moment he was in the house. I remember watching feeds. He's like up super early in the morning. You know, like no X. Like, and no one's gonna buy this. Come on, mm-hmm. buddy.
Yeah, I'm a teacher, and my ass don't be up at 7 in the morning like he be up. Like, mm-hmm. sir, why? Why are you this alert? You're not a bartender. But yeah, Tiffany's great. We see it. I don't know why they use this. I guess this is still part of X winning. This is his like winner montage. It's oh, look, I got this thing over them. Like, they still didn't figure it out. Nobody has pinpointed me as the lawyer. Nobody is going to be shocked when he reveals this on finale night. Mm-hmm. Like, no.
Yeah, and he has a whole speech planned and it's not just like, I am actually a lawyer. It's, well, you see. When I went to high school, I started out as an athlete. I went to this school. I went to I went over here, and then I went to law school, and I passed the bar, and now I work at the most respected law office company in the whole of Milwaukee. So wow. There you go. You never would have. And they're just like, dude,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Better or worse than Tyler revealing the cloud power? Like, which?
I want them to be the same. Because it wasn't that Tyler, like, he revealed it, but it was his only platform at that point. Like, Tyler had done so much in that game, but every time he's like, I had a power! They're like, yeah, Tyler, we know. He's like, but I remember I didn't even have to use it. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, I know. They're like, well, Tyler, tell us why Casey should, but I had a power. She didn't have the power. I had the power and I didn't even use it. Like, yes, Tyler, we know.
Yeah.
But then it was like, Tyler, you did so much.
Has she even seen a cloud?
Hold on. Should Tyler have said he was a lawyer?
He should have said something else. Yeah. Anything, honestly, could have been anywhere.
You guys don't know, but I'm actually a lawyer. Like, it would have been, oh, wow.
Okay. Actual surprise.
Actual surprise. Yeah. I just want Xavier to be his whole winner speech. It's just like, y'all didn't know. Y'all thought I was a bartender. And they'd be like, no, we didn't. They're like, yes, you did. It's an objective fact. I did it.
I just like that Xavier came into the game. He had a whole plan of like, I'm going to go in, I'm going to say I'm a bartender, and then I'm going to reveal that I'm also a model. And it's like, wow, that's really smart of Xavier, except he knows about as much as drinks as I do about drinks. He had no preparation to be. He was just like, anybody could be a bartender. Come on. That's easy. They all immediately knew.
Wow. Like, learn a drink or two. You had to study and memorize stuff for the bar exam. I'm sure you could study for the other bar exam. Like, it can't be that hard for you. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why wasn't his original lie just, I'm a model?
That I don't know.
I mean, because he does talk to Christian about it, because Christian says story checks out. He knows things about modeling. I would say, I'm a model. Look at that. No one asked me about my job. What do you do? Take pictures.
Well, Tiffany would have been like, you are too disciplined to be a model.
I know that you are very smart. And I know that your behind ain't no model.
If you are really a model, you need to quit that line of profession. and find
ain't nobody. Find something else. If you're really a model, sir, you're just not pulling it off.
You are in the diary room asking for bread constantly.
Hella bread.
There's no way you're a model eating all those carbs.
Mm.
I mean, point to me.
Yeah. Let's talk about let's talk about those requests. Yeah, why did Xavier need so much bread?
Because everyone else in this house is a health nut. Oh my gosh.
It was but like as much bread as you can bring. As mm-hmm. much bread. Like it was it reminded me of Ron Swanson. Like what what you might be hearing is bring me a lot of bread. But what I'm telling you is bring me all the bread all the you bread. Have.
Mm-hmm. Every bread in existence. I mm-hmm. need that.
All there's of
no,
the bread.
There's no amount of bread that you could bring that would be enough bread. So just all of it.
Mm-hmm. Just bring it. Just mm-hmm. bring the bread. Is it the new watermelon? Yes.
Yeah.
Look, I've seen Kylan. He sniffs the bread faster than I can eat it. So we just need to just keep bringing it in.
That's what it is. He needs the decoy bread that Kylan will be sniffing, and then he can keep the actual bread that he will be eating mm-hmm. hidden. Okay,
Xavier's
that makes sense.
The one that puts the soap on the bread.
Oh, he's trying to keep Kylan off the bread.
Yes.
And all Kylan is doing is sticking his whole face in it like a person, like a weirdo. Like, get your face out of the tortilla, Rob. I will call the police.
Don't tell Nicole. Don't tell Nicole. All right.
Oh, I'm snitching. Okay.
All right.
You better not come put on. Another tortilla on your face or taco meat.
Yeah. Nicole, Rob's putting his taco meat all over a tortilla.
I'm telling.
Yeah.
I'm telling. Yeah. Out of context account is going to tell on you. All you're going to see is Rob's putting his taco meat all over a tortilla on the podcast.
Yeah. By the way, we have the results, the real-time results from polling on Instagram. Does Rob have taco meat?
Yeah,
63%.
Oh,
it's a landslide.
Look,
wow.
I brush and I take good care. I do not have taco meat.
Rob, I know that you are very smart, and I know that Joe behind got taco meat on it.
No! You may have everybody else fooled,
but
I know, and I'm okay with that.
That's the best line, and that's fine, fine.
Mm-hmm.
If you want people to believe you don't have taco meat? That's
63% of people.
So close.
Are you shocked?
I'm a little surprised.
No,
I'm surprised that 37% said no.
Rob stuffed the ballot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Stop the count.
I love that Frenchie requested catfish because I was like, yes, please. Thank you.
Right up in the camera.
Like, catfish, please. I was like, yes. Felt. Also, Brittany and saying that she was celebrating her 2-year allergy anniversary because I guess she just went gluten free a couple years ago. She realized that it was bad for her. And again, I felt seen. I recently discovered a shrimp allergy several years ago, and I crave shrimp so much all the time. And I would probably still eat it if it was here. It'd just probably not end well.
Would you request
your anniversary?
Well, you know, it's hard to know. Like, so I had allergic reactions to the shrimp, but I kept eating it. So there were days where I just I didn't acknowledge it, you know? It's like, it took the time. I guess I should have marked the day that I got the hives, you know?
Because you got to celebrate.
Yeah, Chappelle, you don't need to pretend. We know that every year on your shrimp allergy anniversary, you get a shrimp-free cake. and you celebrate by eating the whole thing.
I got to. I just feel like people who have food allergies who develop them later on, yes, we have needs too. We still want those foods. We just can't have them without dying a lot of times. So yeah, I feel Brittany in that moment. I liked Brittany in this episode. Yeah. A lot of her content was good.
Do they have vegan shrimp?
Would that make it? I'm so confused. I don't want that. Yeah. I'm like Brittany now. I was like, excuse me, is it still shrimp? Because it sounds like cauliflower, and I don't want that. Like, I don't.
Mm. Yeah, it's just breaded cauliflower. Like,
is it all vegan food just breaded shrimp cauliflower? Like, I just assumed that it's all cauliflower.
Okay.
Like, what the hell is a cauliflower wing? Do cauliflowers have, do they fly?
I think it's shaped like a wing.
Why?
It's like so that they can pretend.
Could you just not? Mm-hmm. Have you tried not?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
We got some requests about the ants. I like the public acknowledgement of the ant problem in the Big Brother house.
It's a big issue every year. Look, Big Brother is finally addressing a lot of the issues, you know?
Yeah. Not a great look for CBS to announce that their house has a, you know, insect issue.
Like, such a bad issue that it's in Hannah's shoes that had to be thrown away, apparently.
Mm-hmm. DF just threw her shoes away.
There's no need to throw shoes away because there are ants in the shoes.
They had ants, Taryn.
DF said, I'm not doing this. And just threw them away.
Could you imagine finding somebody else's shoes being like, oh, there's ants in there. Toss these.
Trash.
Burn it. Not mine. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Depends on the type of shoes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Rob, you make a good point, considering every year CBS includes this in the show. And after a while, you start saying, well, is it the contestants' fault? Because these people cleaned up a lot this season. Or maybe y'all just keep putting them in the same ant-infested home every year. Maybe we should
look
at CBS and see if there's some growth area there. Maybe we should start another petition.
Yeah, the issue is that the Big Brother house is basically in a parking lot.
Yeah, I mean, they don't like to tell you this real truth, but they actually built the Big Brother house. They demolished a big ant hill, a giant ant hill, in order to build the Big Brother house.
Oh no, the ant ghosts! It's haunted.
Yeah, they come back. They come back. Yeah, an exterminator. This is all it would take.
Yeah,
honestly. You could move them. You could put them in the backyard for like. Oh no, Liana! No, not that. You could put them in the backyard for a day, and then just spray the place down. Make sure that there's no ants, and then leave. Mm-hmm. And they can go back to living in their antless house. But you know, whatever.
There's literally nothing happening in there for like 8 months of the year. they can't spend the time to like send in the ant killing gas.
Yeah, can you fumigate it? Is that a thing that happens? Like, you know, put one of those big old circus tents up there and like just bomb them all out. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure they do spray when the house guests are not in there, but there's also no food there. So I feel like then they all come back when the food is out.
They use that lot as like to film Young Sheldon or something, so they probably can't do it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just wish they would come in at least halfway through the season and just touch base. Like, hey, can we just spot check a couple of the ant-heavy locations? I see y'all are throwing away your clothes at this point.
Yeah. All right. So Kylan really wants a hoodie. Liana, do you think that Kylan got his wish and got one of those Julie Chen moon vests, like church hoodies, when he went and got out of the house?
I don't know. I mean, Julie sounded so harsh with him upon the exit.
No,
so
you don't get one.
You don't get one. You are not worthy.
I mean, she did. She was like, Kylan, come out right now. Air hug. We're doing an air hug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was a very, very dramatic shift. So
maybe she'll try to convert him, thinking that could help or something. Maybe it's part of the whole spiel. I don't know.
Yeah.
Could go either way.
I think he's going to receive a package with a hoodie, and it's going to say, "Heard you wanted one of these, Julie."
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
You might also need it.
Yeah, this is a lot. You know what I do? I want to know what the heck Julie was doing while the altercation with Xavier and Kylan was about to happen, because she waited a very long time to jump in. Like, she was watching like we were.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shoot. Did he bring up his nephew? Girl, let me see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What you about to do, Xavier? And then they're like, Julie. She's like, oh, Kylan, come out. Come out.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think what happened is that, like, you know, the people in charge were like, oh, we need to get him out of there. Tell Julie now. Get him out. And then they had to relay it to Julie, get him in. Get him out. And then Julie was like, Kylan. And so that was the delay. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't have the programming. They've never planned for this before. So it was on the fly.
She had no voices in her ear until it was too late.
We've seen people get rushed out of the house for less. You know, like hugging too many people or like doing their good, like, girl, it's okay. And I'm fine. I'll see you outside. And Julie's like, come on out. come on out. Like, stop it. Don't say your goodbyes. But Kylan's about to start like a fist fight. And Julie's like, what?
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, Kylan was that guy at the Emmys that was just like, nah, screw your music. Stop.
Yeah.
I really, who was the guy? I think it was when Tiffany, during the double eviction, the masked guy or the guy with the glove.
Yeah.
You remember the person with the glove? Yes. I really want a person with the glove to have to come in the house.
What was that person's name?
I don't know. I don't remember if they had a name. But glove person.
Just with M. Murray. Thank you.
Murray.
The bouncer.
Look, I have to remember 608 survivors. I'm not going to remember Murray, okay?
All right. Big Brother bouncer gets like one job every 7 years. Like, we haven't seen the Big Brother bouncer since Willie Hance, maybe? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
I know we talked about the cookout segment, but we didn't really talk about any of the specifics. But I thought that there were some really great stories that the house guests all had gotten to share that I thought, insane that this was not in the final 6 week. I don't know if it was that, we got to play up the story of everybody's mad at Tiffany or what, but to me, especially when you had an extra hour when then nothing happened, that you couldn't have this in the show. But I thought this was really incredible. Taryn, was this all the night after Alyssa went home? Was this because it seemed like that they were all drinking? Was this?
Yeah. They had like a celebration and they all talked, about the cookout and how they got there and all that stuff.
Mm hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was great, especially I appreciated Hannah talking about intersectionality and commenting on that and her experiences and them talking about especially the schools and interactions with other people. And it just felt like something that really needed to be heard. And again, we'll echo the fact that I can't believe it wasn't on the regular show, especially because it's people telling their own stories. It's so easy to show something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Foolishness. Mm-hmm. You would think that you just like it's the main driving storyline of the season. You know, like in the past, we've seen Julie week after week, like, OK, what is Memphis and the committee going to do this week? And this alliance was so well hidden that you couldn't even talk about it because they were never in the same room. So you would think you would want to stop down and say, OK, now that we have them all in the same room, let's address, the reason why they're all here. The reason why they made this commitment, the reason why some of them have sacrificed their games to this point, there was a path to the end. Taryn has said this before. There's an easier path to the end for Tiffany without the cookout. Somebody like Xavier benefits from having the cookout or not. Like, whatever. I'm a big old target. I just need y'all to take out the people who would take me out, and then I can try to take y'all out. Like, he benefits. Mm-hmm. But someone like Tiffany, someone like Hannah, Aza, like Big D, they need the cookout to further their game. Tiffany just had multiple routes. She could go other directions and she chose not to. And I think this was your time where you could tell that story. They did not until today. And so it's like, yeah, we got a week to vote for Tiffany as America's favorite house guest. But, had you told this story earlier, I don't think there would be a lot of argument against it with the amount of work she put in to make the cookout a thing and to make sure that the mission was a success. And the amount of sacrifices that they made, each of them, every last one of them made a sacrifice, and they were forced to play with people that they normally might not even wanted to play with in real life. And I think, Big Brother, they picked up the pieces at the end, but, I would have liked for them to tell this story a little bit earlier as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did love that they capped it off with Tiffany being like, yeah, and they couldn't break us. And like, you can see on her face how proud she is. Even in that moment, she knows she's already like in trouble, and she knew it from the start. But she's so proud and happy that she managed to accomplish that they all collectively managed to accomplish this goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the GOAT. I mean, honestly, for this season to end, Xavier is probably going to win, which is fine. I'm actually rooting for the darkest timeline, which is the Aza Big D final two, and Aza wins. But Xavier is probably going to win this. The thing is that Tiffany will go down in history as the mastermind of the show, of this season, of the cookout. She will go down as the better player this season, despite what happens with Xavier, because we know that there were options and there were things that Xavier benefited from that was largely the work of Tiffany. And so I think in there somewhere, there's a win. The question is always asked, Rob, and we've talked about this before. Would you rather win and be hated or lose and be loved?
And what do you always say? Probably,
I say lose and be loved if you like the show. If you enjoy this show, if you ever want to come back to the fandom after you get out the house, lose and be loved. Be Derek X. Be Tiffany. Be Hannah. Don't. Kylan could have won this season, and he would have won and been hated. You know?
Worst of both worlds.
You don't want that. You don't want that. So I think that for someone like Tiffany, this is a net positive. I really wish she would have won because she is one of the better strategists. I think we're all lucky to see her have played the game before and, you know, run the season the way she did.
Mm-hmm. We got one last part of this episode. We got to see a real quick video snippet, like 30 seconds. And Julie teased like, oh, that we'll get the house guests. We'll get to see their families coming. You're not going to want to miss that. We really got through it real quick. You know, Xavier's stepdad and brother. We love you. We're proud of you. Azza's mom and dad, Big D's mom is there, and then she was making him cry, and Azza's mom and dad. So real quick family segment.
I love that Xavier got to see his family after, you know, what just happened with Kylan, and for them to be like, we're so proud of you. Keep doing what you're doing. I know that Xavier is not actually questioning what he's doing in the game, but I'm sure to hear it from his family directly must have been really nice.
Mm-hmm.
On a different note, his dad was giving me a little bit evil villain with the cat, like petting the cat sitting in his lap, like $1 million.
Dr. Evil.
Full Dr. Evil. Yeah, that's what I was envisioning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. His segment was cool, but you got me with the Big D and the Azza segments. I mean, Big D's reaction to seeing his mom, first off, very pretty lady. And I just like, I would have reacted like that as well. Like if I saw my mom after months of not seeing her, I would just cry, you know, very happy to see her. And so I like that for him. You can tell like they would love each other a lot. And his mom, typical mom, it's like, hey, stop all that cussing.
Yeah.
If my mom ever listened to this podcast, I would have that same like conversation with her. She'd be like, hey, I like what you're doing, but could you stop all this cussing? Like,
yeah,
taco meat thing.
Hey, leave that alone.
Talk about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. my mom for sure would be like, stop being so mean to people. Just be nicer to people. I'm like, mom, mm-hmm.
Stop it.
I'm just saying objective facts. I don't know what you want from me. It's not up to me.
Get on my nerves. Gosh, you never let me have fun. You're ruining my life. And then of course, Azza's family, that got me again. I was just so happy. You could tell they're all like all three of them and their families. Their interaction was so great. I wish we had more family visits. I think that's probably like an unpopular opinion, but yeah. I always liked the family visit on Survivor.
In Big Brother Canada, we get the like family video, which they've never really adapted to the US version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even if the jury house, if I'm in the jury house and, you know, they come in and do like, oh my God, what happened to you? I can't tell you. I might as well show you. And then they sit through all of that. And then right when they're done, they should go boom. And it should be a clip of like their parent. Like, I'm so proud of you. You did such a good job, or their loved one. I think that'd be a good touch, but whatever. Ooh. That's somebody being a softy.
Somebody needs to get in touch with Wendy. We can set up Wendy's booth in the Big Brother US house, and we can have the family members visit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wendy. Wendy from Wendy's.
The woman from the restaurant.
Yeah.
Dave Thomas?
Yes. They have a taco salad.
Oh.
Yeah.
What kind of meat?
Ooh.
Yeah, Rob, tell us. Since you know
everything. You know what other food is really good?
What?
Taco meat.
No. I'm not okay with that.
63% of listeners agree,
yeah.
Rob.
Yeah. Wow. I feel like people barely know me.
It's an objective fact at this point, Rob. You might maybe just own it, okay?
I guess so. All right. Let me schedule a waxing for tomorrow.
Well, I was going to say you bare your soul on the podcast, but not your chest. And that's the problem. People just don't know.
That's the problem.
You could have put this to rest if you had taken your shirt off, like I said, but no.
Okay. I'm not allowed to take my shirt off on the podcast anymore, Chappelle. That's
anymore.
Yeah.
What happened?
Long story.
Those more shows recapped days. Mm-hmm. Is that what was going on? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
All right, we'll talk about it.
Taryn, are we going to do spoilers right now?
What?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, here. Yeah. All right. Real quick, we're not going to play the whole song. We're not going to play the whole song. Okay. Hold on. Here. Just a little quick taco spoiler. Okay. Here.
If you don't. Oh, I thought that was a tortilla. Oh, it is.
You know where that spoiler has been?
Ew.
Dropped on the floor. Okay.
Oh, no.
Is it spoiled?
Yeah, it's spoiled. It is. All right.
It smells so
good. All right. We're going to Tara's going to tell us real quick about part one of the HOH. It is completed.
Yes, part one of the final three HOH. And we actually had a very surprising result for this competition. Big
Tara,
D was the first one out. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. You should have prepared me. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you give me the heads up?
It's Rob's fault. He needed to play the full spoiler song. I don't know why I didn't.
No. I hear his logic, but tell me why you didn't prepare me.
I feel like I objectively did prepare you with the words that I said. I'm sorry that I didn't inject more words into the sentence prior to the objective information to make you feel better.
Yeah. It's just the way that you're not a role model at this point. You know, it's the way that no one's going to raise your cat. What's Kellis going to think?
What would Shaq
You are not
say?
Talking about Kellis right now.
What is Kellis going to think? I'm
you
just
are
saying.
Not, you are not talking.
It's not my fault. I can't not talk about Kellis right now. If you want me to talk. Taryn, jeez.
Big D did not win it, and that is because Xavier won the final, the part one of the final three HOH.
Oh crap!
Oh my god!
What? Okay. What? It's almost like he's a competition threat.
Mm-hmm.
Who could have
all muscle? No
who could have seen this coming? Like, who would have thunk? Yep. Who thunked this?
Yeah,
you know.
All right. So we'll get part two probably tomorrow.
Probably tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when will the feeds go off, Taryn?
They usually don't go off until like right before the finale.
Oh
so,
my God.
They'll be around.
What are they going to do the next 4 days?
They're going to
talk about how much they love Xavier. No, talk about how much they love Xavier. They all want him to win the game. Mm-hmm. And so they can sit around and discuss, you know.
Oh, my God.
What are you going to do when I let you win the game, Xavier? No, what are you going to do when I let you win the game, Xavier? You know, the last three people. Matter of fact, you know, kudos to his social game because the Kylan bond that he almost did nothing to gain, that was just like a masterstroke. Like, I just have to exist and Kylan wants to lose to me.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. He'll take out all the people who like him and they want to work with him. And then I can just win by going to the end with people who like me more than him. Like, genius.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and that's the thing that Kylan in the exit interviews is saying, like, oh, he played based on the context of our prior conversations. He went against that context. Like the context of you ranting at him about how you think that you should go to the end with competitors and him being like, sure, bro.
Yeah.
I can't believe he put so much effort into convincing me and that he deserved to have me say that.
It's should have paid more attention to the subtext than the context, just saying.
It's the unnecessary lies for me. Like, sometimes you can just lie to somebody and not have to go out of your way to do, like, all this other lying. Like, you know, just give it to me straight so I'll just know, you know, exactly what's happening all the time because I'm a straight shooter. That's all I do. I tell you what it is. You don't have to worry about it.
I give you the objective facts.
And that's it. You know.
People ask me all the time, are you too nice for this game? Maybe. You
know? Maybe. Mm-hmm. If that's my flaw, then maybe I don't deserve to win the game. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm better than this.
Too nice.
Just too nice.
Oh, also, his role model is Goku from Dragon Ball Z.
Yes.
Goku, who famously is a horrible father, completely abandons his child.
Yep.
Sends him to live with his black nanny, Piccolo, for half the series. I just don't understand why Kylan connects to Goku so much.
If the Aunt Shu fits. So.
Yes, Aunt Shu. Goku boots. It's just such a weird thing to get hung up on. Like, he told me he watches anime. Mm-hmm. You know, don't break that kind of trust.
We were just sitting together.
we were gonna do this fusion dance. Ha! We were like, like, dog, what did he think was gonna happen?
Earrings.
Like, I was gonna get you a Patara. Yeah, like, what did he think was gonna happen here? Why is he holding on to that so hard? Every interview I see is like, Xavier, it's not honorable like I thought he was. I mean, obviously, he disrespected the name of Goku.
Yeah,
I mean, it should have been obvious to Kyland. Xavier doesn't even have any hair.
How can he be Goku if he doesn't have any hair? Well, it doesn't make any sense.
In his interviews, he also, like, you know, we talked about things like Kobe Bryant and Goku. Like, these are, like, you know, things that are just, like, lumped together.
I talked about those things, too, in 2005.
All right.
We're not moving on. Ridiculous. No.
I'm loving this, Chappelle, because I have been talking about Goku and Vegeta and Dragon Ball Z all season long, and every single time I do, my co-host is like, okay. So I love that I've finally been able to bounce off with someone on this.
The problem here is that Xavier is Goku in this metaphor, Kylan. And Goku wins. You are Vegeta. You ain't beat nobody since the Ginyu Force. You haven't killed anyone in like 20 years. Like, don't get me wrong. It's totally. New iterations. Yeah, Liana, you know. But yeah. Like, why would you make yourself that person in the metaphor? Like, oh, Vegeta, who's known to be like, oh yeah, we talked about Goku. Did you miss the rest of the story? Did you? There was nobody else in this universe you wanted to pick. Such a lame. I'm sorry. I don't have an issue with Kylan prior to this interaction with Xavier because everything that he's been doing so far has been so on par for who I thought he was throughout the season. Like, everything that he says, it's all been like, I was like, this shocks y'all. Like, this is the way Kylan's acting. But to double down in your interviews and to cite your source as, I mean, we talked about Dragon Ball Z. Like, how, excuse me? Like, jury vote. I'm not bitter if I don't vote for him. He besmirched the name of Goku. Grow
up. What do you mean I shouldn't have brought his nephew up? Did you hear our conversation about Goku?
Right.
Come on.
Excuse me? Like, preach. it's just too much for a big brother. Like, you, of all the things you could get mad about, it's like this cartoon that you talked about with me.
It's too much for big brother, Chappelle. Mm-hmm. Big it's brother. Just
the thing that you, like, people are mad at bitter juries about, like, you swore on your life. Dan swore on the Bible. Derek pretended to pray with me.
I don't like that he
you
did that.
Talked about Goku? Baby, you are no Dan. You are no Derek. How dare you? Like, what? Okay, Kylan. Jeez. It's just too much. It's too much. Grow up.
All right. Anything else, BB23, tonight? The final Friday night. We did it again.
Do you want the quote? Because I feel like people haven't. I feel like not enough people have heard this quote from Kyland about this whole thing. He says, "As far as the part about Xavier convincing Big D, that just reminded me of. I don't know if it would be delusional or if it would be something else. If it was a general error, but I was like, I literally told Big D straight to his face, like, if the decision is left up to you, you shouldn't bring me." It'd be better for your game on a strategic level to bring Azza if you're okay playing that way. And honestly, people would forgive you if you played that way because for you, it is necessary because you're not as good of a competitor. So me telling Big D that three different times to his face feels more like I convinced him to make this move. And Xavier knows that as well. So for him to swoop in and try to take credit on that, I understand from a jury perspective why he did that. But to me, like, I'm the one who told you that. So that was an odd choice that kind of added to the insincerity behind some of the other stuff he said.
I fell asleep during that. That was so long. Like, classic Kylan.
Yeah.
On par.
Yeah.
On par. Yeah, just to say, I said it out loud, so it's my idea. Like, okay, Kylan, you take that.
Yeah, he manifested it.
I've
never seen a season with so many people taking credit for things that other people did, like, falsely so often. I so few times in this game have people actually been like, yeah, I made that happen, and they were right.
Maybe I should adapt that strategy.
How will you do that?
Well, I was going to say on this podcast, my Tiffany impression, I think, was just really top notch. Like, I did the best Tiffany impression on this podcast. Mm-hmm. So,
well, basically, I feel like if it wasn't, Liana, if it wasn't for you, Chappelle would not have been able to do that Liana impression so well, because you really showed him the ropes and helped him understand how to do the Tiffany impression. And then you told him it, like, people might not have caught it because you don't see everything on this podcast, but you actually did give him a look right before he did that impression that was like, hey, you should do the Tiffany impression. And he was like, oh, okay. So yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to say that he shouldn't take credit for what I did.
Yeah, it's the fact that he thinks he can take credit for it really shows his age.
If this is how it's going to be in the jury house, then yeah, I would be pissed too. I'd fight Kylan because I just sat through that for 2 minutes and I was like, excuse me, my age. Oh, okay. Yeah. I see you, Taryn.
I also saw somebody said in the comments that Chappelle has a nice shirt on today, and I feel like that I really brought the plaid shirts into the podcast, and I feel like that I sort of started that.
Definitely. It was a moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree. It was a moment. Mm-hmm. You know, Rob made plaid shirts what they are today.
Yeah.
And Taco Meat. Rob's fashion game is just too on point. So.
Too on point. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let me tell you about what else is coming up here on the old Rob Has a Podcast. We'll start things off with tomorrow morning. There's going to be a live feed update.
Yes.
Lita
will be there. Okay. And thank God.
What y'all going to talk about?
Goku.
We might talk about American Ninja Warrior. Find out tomorrow morning.
Okay. Then what do we have coming up? Oh, Sunday. There's more Big Brother.
Why?
2 hour finale. Also, Sunday night, we're going to have Frail Mary, Mary Krakowski, and Jason Reed will join Taryn and I Sunday night after an all new Big Brother only on CBS.
Hold on. Because the announcer at the end of this episode said, who won part one of the final three HOH? Find out live on Sunday night's episode. Live?
Live? Mm-hmm.
The episode will be live.
You will watch live and find out. Don't DVR it.
And we will tell you live when we go on the air.
Yeah.
So Sunday is the finale. Yes?
No. 2 hour finale on Wednesday, Chappelle.
God damn.
Rob, when Rob was going through the plugs and he was like, oh, and Sunday there's an episode, in my heart it went.
Yeah. And that'll also be like one of those like football preempted like 8:42 starts for Sunday Night Big Brother. Just a heads up to the audience there. It's like
get out the tortillas again. That's better.
Mm-hmm. Don't you take that? Don't you know, Rob?
Yeah. This Tuesday, the season finale of The Slop is coming, and we're going to celebrate birthday week with Jenny Autumn over on The Slop, 6 p.m. Tuesday coming up. So be on the lookout for that. Of course, some people may or may not know, Survivor started this week. Stephen Fishback was back. By the way, he's loving Big Brother 23, everybody. That we talked about everything from Survivor 41, the premiere with Stephen Fishback on Survivor Know-It-All.
Covered it all.
Yeah.
Boom.
We knew it all. Also, there are two Survivor exit interviews for you as well. Two people went home and it was a double eviction, baby, in the premiere of Survivor 41. We talked to both people who got voted out. And then I spoke with Karishma Patel that Chappelle and I talked about her season 37 weeks ago. And now here she is on the Survivor recap to talk about everything that went on in week number one. A lot of fun with Karishma. And then Chappelle and I earlier today recorded this week's feedback show. Should be dropping soon. We're going to drop it for the patrons of the podcast imminently. For everybody else, you'll hear that Sunday night. This week's feedback show. Chappelle, we had fun, right?
Yeah, we had a good time. We talked about, you know, we answered some of the burning questions that people have. And we also talked about the future of you and I as podcasters, as a partnership, mm-hmm. because currently I am fired.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So,
I think you're spoiling the patrons.
Yes. Oh. Do you think so?
They're getting so much. They're getting too much content. They're now getting podcasts early. Like they're going to start. This is not how you raise your patrons.
No, Taryn, you don't understand. They've been very good this year. They're the ones that they don't send us mean comments. Yeah, they've been very good. They've been very good.
Rob would never make them do the dishes.
They don't have to do the dishes. They're good.
How repeatable are their comments? That's all I'm saying.
It's fair. It's fair that they, you know, they haven't duplicated any yet. Still going.
That's fair.
Monday night, Amon Adwin will join me for the Survivor 41 Q&A. Lots to talk about after week number one. The patrons will be calling in. We'll talk about episode number one of Survivor with Amon. And then, let's see. Oh, the Stockwatch. Taryn, tell us what happened on episode one of the Stockwatch podcast.
We had a lot of fun. Asia joined me and we went through the episode trying to piece together what happened strategically in the game. And then we went through and we rated the players and we sort of like put them in order of like best on their tribe to worst on their tribe. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Hopefully people check it out, especially if you like the Big Brother coverage. You gotta check out the Stockwatch.
Yeah, check it out. Thursdays every week.
Thursdays.
Okay. And then Liana, what's coming up on the first episode of the B&B?
I don't know, but I'm gonna figure it out at some point. we're gonna get together, play some games. We have our preseason predictions to talk about, which one of them I got terribly, terribly wrong. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited. Double episode, so we got a pair of fabulous podcasters to talk about it with Mike and I.
Yep. Kirsten McInnes and Maggie Morgan join Mike and Liana this weekend on the B&B.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rick Devins is going to be on YX Lost this week. He'll join David and Jessica for that. Shannon Gus, she has coverage of the Survivor 41 premiere on Survivor Global with Dino Paolo. So check that out. And before we move on, I just want to say all of those Survivor shows are in our Survivor podcast feed. If you subscribe at robhasawebsite.com/subscribe, we don't need to go all the way back. That's just saying that's where you can find them. The Circle, Taryn, you're going to have a week three roundtable.
Yes. Talking about we're going to sit in a circle and then we're going to talk about the circle and we're going to come full circle about the fact that it's been a good circle.
Okay. All right. join Asia, Mari, and Mike with Taryn on Saturday at 5 p.m. live.
Genuinely, it's been a good season.
Yeah. All right. Liana, the Masked Singer is back. I saw that it went up against Survivor, both got good ratings.
Yeah. Masked Singer is back. We covered the two-night premiere, so went up against Survivor, and then a Thursday night episode as well. It's then going to be weekly, I think, up against Survivor. But we talked about everything from the two-night premiere. It was Mike Bloom's nightmare with a giant baby costume. So, yes, very terrifying, very enjoyable. I'm really stoked for the season.
Okay. Check it out with Liana and Puya, and of course, we got so much going on in our patron podcast feed, including we had, I think, the longest BB Q&A of the season today. So many great calls today. Plus, you could watch the video of our Kylan exit interview. That's at robhasawebsite.com/patron. I got to get to a patron 5 for 5 over the weekend. Plus, we'll have our new patron orientation as well coming up this weekend. That's at robhasawebsite.com/patron. That new patron orientation is at 6 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. I'll walk you through all the patron benefits, and then we will have a little bit of a Q&A and a meet and greet at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Saturday. Sent out that link on Patreon. And then what else? So make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel or subscribe to the podcast, all the different ways at robhasawebsite.com/subscribe. And of course, check us out on social media, on Twitter, on Instagram, and check out at Rob Has a Podcast on TikTok as well. We're creating a lot of fun content there, including on my own TikTok. I'm at Rob Sesternino. All right. Chappelle, What a day we've had.
Been a long day, Rob.
Yes.
This has been a long one.
Liana's the only person I've only done one podcast with today.
Oh, I feel so left out.
Mm-hmm.
The misogyny.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, come on now.
Sorry.
Do better.
I'll do better. All right, Liana, stay on after this. We'll record another podcast.
Perfect.
Yes.
Sounds great.
Okay, then I'll do two with each of you today.
Do the work.
Yes.
Rob.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. Good.
All right. Chappelle, what's coming up for you this weekend?
I'm going to be traveling this weekend, but I've done a lot of podcasting in the last week, to prepare for this little trip I'm making. So
you're ahead of the game.
Yeah, a little bit. So Puya and I talked about 90 Days the Other Way on his 90 Day Fiancé podcast. It was my first time watching the show. I watched, the whole season up until now so I could prepare for my big 90 Day debut. And it was so fun. It was such a good show. I definitely recommend it because it is wild and I had a great time talking to Puya. So y'all can check me out on there. Every week I talk about The Walking Dead on Post Show Recaps with Jessica Leese, AJ Mass, and Josh Wiggler. But last week it was just me and AJ Mass. And so I got to host, so it was a mess. So check me out there if you want to hear The Walking Dead coverage or if you just want to hear me laughing at myself. Making myself laugh, of course. And then AJ, of course, is hilarious. So that's obvious. But then, of course, there is the Never Have I Ever podcast that Sasha Joseph and I do on Silent Podcast, which is always fun. And Rob, you and I, in the beginning of October, we are going to be starting our new podcast venture, Nothing But Netflix.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a scoop here at the end of the Big Brother podcast.
It's for the Big Brother viewers. They love Rob as a podcast during the summer.
Yeah.
They don't want to see Taryn and Liana and myself, you and Go. They want to spend more time with us. So Nothing But Netflix coming out in October.
Okay. That's next week.
Yeah, that's next week. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's just
Sounds good.
Yeah, no more podcasts tonight, but I'm very excited for what's coming next. I've already have another one booked with Liana, and that's too many.
Thank you.
Oh yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Yes.
But aside from the feedback show, that's all I got going on. Very busy, but I'm having a good time regardless. And people can follow me on social media. If you don't follow me on Twitter, Chappelle_show, or you can follow me on Instagram, ChappelleTNT. That's where I'm doing my shenanigans the most.
Yeah, the closer. All right,
Leah. Like Kira Sedgwick.
Yes. Only 1 degree to Kevin Bacon, I think. All right.
Hey.
Chappelle, great job tonight.
Thank you.
Amazing to have you here on the recap of the recap. Liana, we know the B&B is coming, the Masked Singer. Anything else going on?
No, that's it. I mean, science is super busy for me right now. I have some science due October 12th, so it's like pretty busy up until then. But yes, we will be back for the Survivor B&B. Mike and I will be doing a last BB B&B to wrap up the whole season. And then, of course, the Masked Singer is chugging along. And you can follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP.
Okay, Liana, so wonderful to get to recap of the recap with you once again. And thank you for making some time. I know you're super busy to be here with us on a Friday night.
Despite the taco meat, nevertheless, she persisted. So I'm just very happy to be here and to have survived the recap of the recap.
Yeah. How is this still one of the longest Big Brother podcasts of the season?
We had time.
Yeah. Okay.
There was a lot to recap in the recap.
A lot to recap. Okay. And then Taryn, what's coming up for you?
All those podcasts that we already talked about. And then you can find me on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong or on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn.
Okay. Hang out. All right, Taryn, great job tonight. Thank you all so much for joining us. We're in the home stretch here. Only a couple of days left. Big Brother. We're going to have Big Brother finale exit interviews as well. Taryn and I are going to have those Wednesday night. So be on the lookout for those coming up later this week. So take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.